men who can come down and get the job done of the story.
How many of you have had struggles in your life? How many of you have felt overwhelmed or hopeless? How many of you have had serious health issues? Or maybe personality struggles, such as shyness or stuttering or low self-esteem. The Apostle Paul is a wonderful example of having joy in his contentment no matter what circumstances he found himself in. And he gives a wonderful example of that in his writing to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. And if you would stand, please, for the reading of God's word. I rejoice in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both now to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot in any and all circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content, whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. This is one of my favorite life verses. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Father, we thank you that we could gather again in this place to praise and worship you. Father, we thank you for the beautiful Sabbath day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that as we approach this Thanksgiving week, that we will have the opportunity to call to our minds how grateful and thankful we are for you, for your protection, for your counsel, for your healing, for your strengthening, for your wisdom, and so many other things. And Father, as we continue to worship this morning, I ask, Father, that you will help me to share this word with clarity and understanding. And I pray this in your name. Amen. I think we all are familiar with Paul's struggles. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked, beaten, threatened, chased out of town, under house arrest, and eventually martyred for his faith. So you and I think we had problems. But the remarkable thing about Paul was, even through all of this, he had joy in the Lord. As we look at these four verses, we find in verse 10 that Paul was deeply grateful for the church remembering him with a financial gift which was a cause of joy in the Lord. The Christians at Philippi had renewed their concern because they were concerned and for no other reason. Paul had learned to be at home with whatever God supplied to him. Let me say that even though we're going to talk about adaptability and dependency, that this sermon focuses most of all on contentment. Because to have adaptability and dependency, you've got to be contented with where you are, who you are, and with the circumstances in which you find yourself. In verse 11, he had joy because he was contented. The Greek word is emathon. It speaks of having arrived at a fact of understanding. Otherwise, when I had my heart surgery, I understood it was serious. I understand that I was probably going to have to make changes in my life. I'm still making changes in my life. But I've learned to be content with the circumstances in my life. So you see, contentment is understanding where you are, who you are. And regardless of you wish, in my case, I wish I could drive again. I wish I had more energy. I wish I could see better and hear better. I wish I had the strength I used to have. But I don't. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that I can still serve the Lord. I'm happy for life. Being alive. So you see, contentment is understanding where you are, who you are. And no matter whether the time that you are in is happy and joyous and productive, or whether it's sorrowful, sad, and a real struggle, and some of it you don't understand, you still need to be contented. But not only just be contented, but be joyful in who you are at this point in your life, where you are, how you are. Contentment is learned through experience. It is self-sufficiency because of Christ. No matter what happens, no matter if our circumstances change from really being good and a wonderful experience to being something that is about to overwhelm us or has changed our life dramatically and not necessarily always for the good, Paul is saying we need to be contented. That, Lord, no matter what my circumstances, I still want to give a testimony about you. I still want to serve you. I still believe that you're faithful. I still believe you hear my cries. Paul could rise above any circumstances, and you and I can do so also. In verse 12, he had adaptability. Circumstances were the areas of spiritual growth, and through them, he learned to be adaptable. If you've ever been on a mission trip, especially to a third world country, you have to be adaptable. When I went on mission trips where I led them, one of the words that I kept saying to the group that was going, you got to be flexible. You got to be adaptable. Because you're not going to be in the United States. You're going to be in a country where they do not have much of what we do. You may have only electricity for a couple hours a day. You may not have the most comfortable place to sleep. You may eat some food that you didn't know what you were eating. You're flexible. You're adaptable because you're there to serve the Lord and to rejoice in that and be contented. We have hundreds of disaster relief volunteers in Western North Carolina and Western South Carolina and Georgia and a little bit of corner of Virginia. And having been a disaster relief volunteer, I can tell you, you have to be adaptable. You have to be flexible. Because you get down there and you find out, oh, I wish I had brought this tool. Because this is what I really need to repair this particular part of the house. And so you've got to figure out, now how am I going to do this without this tool? Stores are closed. But you figure it out. And that's often part of our daily living. Sometimes circumstances arise where we don't really have what we need to deal with it. But we cry out to God and say, God, help me find a way to do this. Help me to find a way to overcome and be contented and to rejoice. Circumstances were the areas of spiritual growth, and through them, he learned adaptability. Now, notice that he says, I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. So the first and last phrases in verse 12 have to do with physical needs in general. And then the middle phrase has to do with food. That's an important word to Southern Baptists, to this church. But that's what he's talking about. I know how to make do with little. And I know how to make do with a lot. Whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. So this knowledge, this ability to be flexible, is learned by walking with Christ. Paul could rise above any circumstances because he walked with Christ. And we can also. Now we come down to verse 13. Paul had dependency. Paul depended on Christ for strength. Have you ever noticed when you're up against something that you can't handle by yourself? You have to cry out to God. Paul could accomplish all that God wanted through the strength that God provided. He could do the impossible. Now, this brings up a paradox. Notice, Paul was strong when he was weak. He was self-sufficient or independent only when he was dependent upon God. There were times when Paul lived in a Christian community, but he also knew what it was like to face life's problems alone and still gain victory over them. One of the marks of maturity in Christ is that a person knows how to depend on the Lord in every situation. So let me summarize these four verses. Contentment does not come from physical circumstances, but from relying on divine strength. Now, the Philippian Christians expressed their love for Paul by providing for him a special financial gift. It encouraged him, and he was glad to receive it, but his contentment came not from physical circumstances, but from relying on divine strength. He was content no matter what the circumstances. Now, I want you to know that the word content is a term apparently taken from Stoic philosophers of that day. And it describes an inner spirit of freedom and discipline. It is the ability to conquer circumstances and situations rather than being conquered by them. And such an attitude is opposite of worry and anxiety. Now, I know none of you in this room ever worry or are anxious, so this summary probably doesn't apply to you. I'm just being facetious, as you know. Paul knew how to weather the extremes of poverty and surplus. He was relying on God that helped him to gain through his Christian experience. His strength came from Jesus living in him. And in our final summary of these four verses is that the Christian life is not only difficult, it is impossible unless we acquire the power to live through Christ. This truth does not become naturally to us. We have to learn it. How many times have we tried to do something that only could be done when we rely on Christ? But we try it anyway. Not too successful, are we? You would not want to hear a sermon delivered by me if it wasn't through the Holy Spirit. Because if I don't come into this pulpit with a deep sense of humility in the tremendous opportunity I have, relying on Christ, you wouldn't want to hear the sermon. God will always set us free from our anxieties, from our worries, from those things that appear to overwhelm us and to make us feel hopeless. Let me share with you some examples of that in the Old and New Testament. Some people who were set free because of God. Elijah was suicidal. But when he cried out for God, God helped him to overcome those feelings. Moses was anxious. Did you know that? One of the greatest leaders in the Bible was anxious. But God set him free and helped him to overcome it. Job wished he was never born. Now you're talking about being in some circumstances that weren't good. Job experienced that. But God set him free because he cried out to God. Hannah was barren. She cried out to the Lord. And the Lord freed her of being barren and gave her a child named Samuel. I didn't find out till I was 60 years old that my mother promised God the same thing that Hannah promised God in order to have a child. I had blood poisoning in my brain, going to my brain. And the doctor finally said to my mother, "It is in God's hands." And she prayed, "If you will heal my son," she cried out to God, "I will commit him to your service." I didn't know that till I was 60 years old. I didn't know who to blame. But she cried out to God. Jacob was a cheater. But one day he cried out to God, and God lifted him out of that kind of personality. David at one time was depressed, but God freed him from that. And we know the rest of the story. And David also had an affair. You remember that. You remember the consequences of it. But David cried out to the Lord and asked his forgiveness. And God freed him. Noah got drunk. Had a problem with alcohol. But God freed him. Jonah ran away from God. He didn't understand you can't run from God. He knows where you are all the time. But God freed him from his fear and him not wanting to save Nineveh. Sarah was impatient. But God freed her and gave her a child in his time. And we are still suffering the consequences of the child through that other woman that Sarah gave to Abraham. Miriam was a gossip. But God freed her of that habit. Paul, the Paul that wrote these verses, was a murderer. God freed him when he cried out to him. And you know the rest of the story. Thomas was a doubter. And it took him seeing Jesus in person after the crucifixion for him to realize that he did rise up from the grave, that he was alive. And Jesus freed him from that doubt. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, died. And they cried out to God, and he raised him from the dead and freed him. Martha was a nervous wreck because she was focusing on other things but sitting at God's feet. But he freed her. That's certainly not all the people that God helped. Oh, I forgot about Peter. He had a temper, didn't he? But God freed him of that temper. And he ended up being one of the finest disciples that we study in the New Testament. And that reminds me of a statement that God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So the whole point of even naming those biblical characters is that the fact that he used their struggles and turned them into a testimony. Years and years ago, back in the 70s, we were living in Frederick, Maryland. I was pastoring a church there. One of our church members, who is still living in her 90s, lives in way out in the country in West Virginia now. She was a real soul winner. She looked for every opportunity she could have to share Jesus. And she had neighbors. They were a young couple, had three small children. And she'd been witnessing to the wife. And the wife started coming to our church. And one night during a revival service, you remember those? She came forward and gave her life to Jesus. It wasn't long after that that she was diagnosed with leukemia. And she battled and battled and battled. And it came a time when leukemia was gone. And of course the church praised God, sighed it for her. But after, I don't know, maybe a year, what do you think, Daphne? Maybe a year after that? 2 years? It came back. And it came back with a vengeance. The doctors tried every kind of medicine, every kind of treatment. Nothing worked. I don't know if it's still there, but there was a hospital in Baltimore that was known to try treatments that still weren't approved. And that's where she ended up. And I went to see her. She was emaciated. Had bruises all over her feet. Her teeth were rotting out. I had to ask God to help me to walk into her room and not let her know how terrible she looked. And one of the last things she told me before going to be with the Lord, "I am so glad that I had this leukemia because it caused me to come to the Lord." And for a couple of weeks after her death, I had doctors and nurses sending me letters telling me how wonderful it was to have known her and her Christian spirit and her effort to tell them about Jesus. That's pretty tough circumstances, isn't it? But in spite of it all, and she had three small children and a husband. In spite of it all, she had joy. In spite of her circumstances, because she had Jesus. So God can turn your worst season around if you'll let Him. Paul was a worshiper. He expressed joy whenever he was in trouble or in a tough spot. And when you choose to worship God, to express joy, to serve Him in the middle of the storm, it will make a difference in how you handle that circumstance. That we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and away from darkness. It's your choice. You have to choose to remain faithful to God, to have joy even in the midst of the storm, even when you're feeling hopeless, even when you're feeling overwhelmed. You have to see God as bigger than your suffering. And when you do, your worship will magnify God far above your present situation. Satan's attacking this church. He's using a lot of our people. Been going on for 6 months now. I've seen these things happen before, but I have to admit to you, I can't remember seeing a church attacked as severely as our church with sickness and death. It leads to discouragement and despondency. Maybe some of you are feeling overwhelmed for our church, feeling like we're never going to get beyond what we are. But if Satan is attacking us this hard, there's going to be joy in the morning, folks. Something good's going to happen to this church. The excitement is waiting to see what it is. That it's going to lift us beyond Satan. You know as well as I do that God is stronger than Satan. We will survive anything Satan throws at us. I just want you to continue to be contented with your own personal situation. And to remember to be joyful. Because like that story I told you about that young lady who died of leukemia, God used her struggle to share Jesus, for her to share Jesus with hospital staff. And God will use anything you're going through now, some of our other folks are going through that aren't here, so that we have opportunity to show the world that our life is different because we have Jesus. Amen.